where we're talking about the power of truth in leading God's people in the midst of darkness, the power of truth. And the word of God is true. And someone said today, Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? Amen. What is truth? Amen. The word of God is truth. Jesus himself was the human embodiment of truth. He said that I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. And tonight, we are quite familiar with truth. Isn't that right? We're quite familiar with the word of God. I want to ask you tonight, in view of the fact that we understand that there is power in truth, in view of the fact that you recognize that tonight, how then should you live your life? How should you live now that you have access to the powerful word of God? And the word is powerful. How should you live in view of all that the word has to say about us, as to who we are and what's available to us as children of God? I want to read a couple of scriptures tonight and just talk. I won't be long tonight. I'm not going to take my usual hour. I'm going to cut it tonight. Amen. But I heard you say amen over there. But you know, the Super Bowl is longer than an hour. Normal basketball is longer than an hour. They play 40 minutes or so, but they got halftime, all that stuff. We just watch it. Amen. So let's just give God an hour tonight. Got to balance that thing out. But I want to talk about how then should we conduct our lives? How should we behave? Christians, men and women who have access to the powerful word of God, and who the word, the powerful word, have declared us to be. See, the Bible says in 1 Peter 2 and 9, the Bible said, but you are a chosen generation. Amen. How should you live now that you have been chosen by God? Amen. You didn't pick yourself, didn't nominate yourself, didn't appoint yourself, but God chose you. Just think about it. Everyone sitting in this room tonight is a chosen vessel of God. Amen. Now, how should you live in view of the fact that God handpicked you? You know, sometimes you hear people say, oh, I chose the Lord when I was young. No, you actually didn't choose God. God chose you. Amen. Amen. The Bible said that you are a chosen generation. It did not say you are a choosing generation. That you chose me. But God said, I chose you. And in view of that, how should we live? You know what? We're living in a very dark day. The Bible said that darkness would cover the earth and gross darkness to people. And sometimes it seems like the process has begun. As we talked about the argument that goes on about absolute truth. Say, oh man, ain't no absolute truth. Your truth good as my truth is as good as your truth and all that other stuff. There's an absolute truth, and that's the word of God. What God say is absolute. And the word of God is what declared that we are a chosen generation. Not only that, but he goes on to say, you're a royal priesthood. Not just a priesthood, but a royal priesthood. Not only that, it don't stop there. It said, but you are a holy nation. Ain't that something? We just think about who you are. What God, the creator of the universe, what he said about you. Amen. This is not what Henry said. It's not what Thurlow said. But it's what God have said about all of us sitting in this room tonight who have been born again by the Spirit of God. The Bible say that we are a chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation, his own special people. We are special to God. We are God's own special people. But the question still is, how should we live? I'll tell you, we ought to live like who we are. Amen. We ought to live like a chosen generation, handpicked by God, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own special people, a people who are showing forth the glory of God and manifesting the power of God in the life, in this earth, through the life that we live. I'm not talking about just a proclamation. The Bible said the whole creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Amen. Not the proclamation, but manifestation. Not you proclaiming yourself to be a son of God, a child of God. And you ought to do that as well. But don't stop there. But live the life that solidifies and that backs up the proclamation that you have made. Live a holy, consecrated, obedient, dedicated, devoted life to Jesus Christ. You know what? See, the Bible, the power of the word has said so much to us, and the power of truth. We have the truth of God has been given to us, amen, for the purpose of bringing about a manifestation of God's kingdom in this earth. Listen, the Bible said, his own special people, that you may what? Proclaim the praise of him who have called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Amen. You've been called out of darkness. You have been given victory over the power of darkness. Amen. Over the power of the world, the flesh, and the devil, we have power over it all. And you know what? We ought to live like that. How did Jesus live? The Bible said, as we behold, as in a mirror, amen, the glory of the Lord, said we are changed into that same image by the power of the Spirit of God that's in us. God is in the process of transforming us into the image of Christ. So that as he is, the Bible said. Now that's another one that talks about, for as he is, so are we in this earth. Did y'all know that was in the Bible? Yeah, I know you Bible students know that. For as he is, so are we. How then should we live? When you think about as he is, so am I. In other words, what he did, that's what I ought to be doing. How he lived, that's how I ought to be lived. Jesus was victorious and was not defeated one time while he was on this earth. I was talking to some leaders the other night, and I was saying, here lately I've been thinking about something Jesus said. Jesus said to his disciples, said, go and heal the sick. Go and raise the dead. Go and cleanse the lepers. And I said, you know what? He told us to do that. I said, you see, I don't, you know, James said it, but I don't see where Jesus said, go ye and pray for the sick. Jesus said, go and heal the sick. The power of truth. That's the word of God. That's truth. That's ability that's made available to us as sons of God. What is going to cause this world to wake up and realize that the church is the church? As Lord said, let the church be the church. Amen. The church is the church is when the power of the word of God, spoken word of God, began to be manifested in and through the lives of those who proclaim Jesus as the Lord of their life. That we don't talk about what we know we can't do. And when are we confident that we can do it? Is when we are aware of the fact that we are living our lives in accordance to the word of God. In other words, when we are doing what we ought to be doing and the way we ought to be doing it, and we have confidence that I'm obedience to God, then you have the confidence that Jesus had, that my Father always hear me because I do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So Jesus didn't have any problem with touching the leper and seeing them cleansed. He didn't have any problem with opening the blinded eyes because he knew, because of his connection with his Father, he was the chosen Son of God to come into the world to bring salvation to mankind. He knew his purpose, he knew his call, and he knew what his Father thought about him. This is what? My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Amen. So Jesus knew that his Father was well pleased with him. So Jesus spoke the word and he got resolved. And you know what? We are to live that type of consecrated, dedicated, devoted life. You say, well, that was Jesus. Well, how about obedience? His shadow healing people. Why? Because of his connection with God. You know what we need in the day and time that we are living now? From the church, we need a manifestation of the power of God. We need to see God on display. More than a shouting, more than a dance. Amen. We need to see the miracle working power of God. Amen. We need to see the miracle working power of God upon the preached word. That when the word of God is preached, the altar call don't have to be made. But people are pricked in their heart and come crying, what must I do to be saved? Because the word has flown from the lip of those who are committed to the cause of Christ and who are obedient to his word and who are living their lives in absolute surrender to the Master Jesus Christ. And why are you doing all that? Because of who you are. I just read it. You're a chosen generation. You know what, church? We all got in this earth, amen, to shine as light. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. Amen. And our salt have the season yet. So let's embrace the truth of the word of God and read his word and say, if the word say it, then I am. If the word said, then I can. Why, someone used to say, I am who God say I am. How many of you would declare tonight that you are who God say you are? Amen. Now the next word there, how many of you will declare that I'm going to do what God told me to do? See, we got to do it. We got to do what God say. I'm going to live like God say. Come out from among them. Be separate. Separate. Live a holy, consecrated, clean, devoted, dedicated life to God. You know the words of that song you just sang. It's so easy to sing it, right? I give myself to you. I'm not my own, but I forgot the word. But anyway, I give myself to you, and I'm not my own. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. You belong to God. Amen. You can't just do what you want to do. As you said about Bishop Jay, he said, I don't have it. What did he say? Don't have an opinion? I don't have an opinion. What did the Bible say? Amen. And that's the way we got to live our life. That man, I can't choose what I will and what I want to do that's in the Word of God. What did the Bible say? The Bible said, lay aside every weight, every sin that does so easily beset us. And you know, I'm talking about this because we can do this because of the power of truth. His word is truth. And it has the power. Amen. If it said it, we have the potential to do it. Not in our own strength, but he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that does what? Worketh within us. It's not an outside power I need in order to accomplish God's purpose. I'm already a possessor of the power to accomplish God's purpose. See, the word, truth, is powerful. But the Holy Spirit in you is powerful. Listen to what he said. Peter in 2 Peter 1 and 4 said, by which, having been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. I mean, God, the promises, you know. You read God's Bible, read God's the Word, the Bible, and here are all the promises that God has made to us. The Bible said exceedingly great and precious promise that through them you might be what? Made partakers of the divine nature of God. Amen. We sit here tonight having been made partakers of God's divine nature. And then been, and also have been infused with the power of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. You know what? We can do it. We can light. We can be light. We can be salt. We can make a difference. Romans 12 chapter and the first verse said, I beseech you. In view of the mercies of God, or by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is nothing out of the ordinary. It's just a reasonable spirit. It's our spiritual worship to present. It's sometimes I think about it, it's hard to imagine what would happen if we would present ourselves without reservation unto God and let God have absolute control of our lives. And we began to live and walk upon this earth like Jesus did when he was here, totally and completely surrender in obedience to God. Do you really think that's a possibility? That, man, we can live like Jesus did. That, sure, we can do it. That what did Jesus have that you don't have? You say, well, he have God's nature. I just read it. You be made partaker of God's divine nature. You say, well, he had the Spirit of God. You have the Spirit of God. Well, he had the Word of God. You have the Word of God. What did he have that we don't have? He had absolute faith and trust in his Father. And sometimes I have missed the doing. Apostle. I submit to the apostle. Amen. You know, we got to realize that, man, we need to wake up and say, you know what? Why am I living here? Living beneath my privilege. Amen. I have access to it all. Why would I live? My God, why would I? Look, if you had Bill Gates walk in that door tonight and say to anyone in here, I have this house, 10 acres of land, already furnished, and here's $3 million, and all you got to do to get it, it just comes to this address. And it's you. There's nobody probably sitting in this room that would hear the rest of this message. You would get up and get out of here and try to get to that address to collect that gift. God has given you unlimited resources. God has made available to us unlimited resources. Why do we hesitate in receiving? We're talking about the power of truth. Now, I believe this is truth that God has made available to us. All that heaven has to offer. But Paul said, I beg you, present your body, present your life. Give yourself to Jesus without reservation. Let go and let God have it all. Paul said, lay aside every weight in the 12th chapter of Hebrews and every sin that does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that's set before. See, there are some weights, some things that are holding us down and holding us back from fully engulfing what it is that God has made available for us. And I just stopped by tonight to tell you to get rid of it. Cut it loose. Let it go. Gettysburg needs the manifested power of God in this city. The state of Maryland, amen, Pennsylvania, wherever you are from, it needs to see the glory of God in the lives of those who are called by the name of the Lord. You know, it's like, show me. I remember when I was in a church, and a man was there. He had a patch over his eye, and the preachers were praying for him, you know. He had it. And so then the preacher prayed, and then the preacher looked at him and said, yeah, you heal. But he still had a patch over his eye. And the guy said, you heal. And then somebody, and they shouldn't have done that. But if somebody sitting in the church, and they looked at him and said, do you know a lot of stuff that we are saying? Remember this, preacher. They're about to say, preacher. And not only are they about to say, there's a world out there saying, preacher. You say, I'm the child of God. I'm the anointed one of God. I'm filled with the power of God. And it's improved. Proven. And how is it proved? Just by the simple walk of faith and trust and confidence in God and walking in obedience to the word of God. So that there is a manifestation of the fact through the life, through our life, amen, that we are who we say we are. Read a couple of more scriptures. The Bible says Colossians 3:12. It said, therefore, as the elect of God, like you're chosen, you're elected by God. As the elect of God, he says to us, holy and beloved. He said, you are elected by God and you are holy, set apart, separated by God. You have been sanctified by God. God set you apart. You're holy and you are sanctified. Amen. And you are loved. Now that's in the truth of God. That is a fact. That tonight you sit here, elect of God, and you sit here holy, and you're sitting here loved by God. You know, when we think about all of that, we don't have an excuse for not surrendering all to God. Why wouldn't we do that? Why wouldn't we do that? Why wouldn't we let go and let God have his way in our life? You know, we just came out of 21 days of fasting and praying. And each night we was gathering there with the church and just praying, seeking the face of God and confessing and laying aside stuff in our lives. I mean, just peeling off. Amen. And getting rid of it. Because we're ready to see the power of God. Amen. We want to see some changes in the homes of the church, of the members of our church. We want to see some changes in our city that we live in. Amen. To let the devil know he can't just do anything he wants to do, because there is a restrainer in the city. But we don't have to put up with all that stuff. The Bible said, if you humble yourself, pray, seek my face, turn from your wicked ways, God said, I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal the land. So God wants us to understand the power of the truth of his word. That the word of God is true. When it said you are holy, you are sanctified, you are chosen by God, you are royal priesthood, you are more than conquerors through him that loved you. You can overcome anything that comes your way that's not right and pleasing to God. God wants us to know that that's so, man. You don't have to be defeated. You can heal the sick. And you know what? We got to start thinking that. Amen. If need be, you can raise the dead. You can cleanse the leper. It doesn't matter what it is. Great is he that's in you than he that's trying to get you, stop you, or hinder you from bringing glory and honor to God. The greater power is in us. We are the chosen people of God. We are the ones that have the anointing of the Spirit of God upon us. We are the ones that God has elected to be his example in this earth today. And you know what? God didn't leave us out here by ourselves. He said, I'll never leave you, neither will I forsake you. God is with us. Amen. God is with us. We are the people of God. We are well able to take the city. We are well able to accomplish the call of the church. Amen. And we can be triumphant in our walk as a child of God. We can live. I'm giving it to you. We can live above the law of sin and death. Amen. We don't have to succumb to that. Amen. I didn't say you wasn't going to fall asleep and pass away from this life. But you can live above the law of sin and death that which takes us down and separates us from God. See, to stop living and stop breathing is not the, really, well, that's death. But death in its real sense is separation from God. So we don't have to be separated from God. We don't have to be. We are the people of God. We have the life of God in us. And we have the command of the Lord to go, be salt, be light. And remember he said to his disciples, what he said to them, I think applies to us. He said, go and heal the sick, how should we live? He said, go and cleanse the leper, how should we live? He said, go and raise the dead, how should we live? We should live holy, sanctified, committed, dedicated life. I'm going to release him to God first. But God is first. If God's first, you don't raise him. If God's first in your life. See, just think about it. Just think about it for a minute. I think most time we get caught up in the religious setting and the God, oh yeah, I just love it. But if God really first in your life, now think about it. You know what? You can snow me like that. And maybe get away for a minute with that. But we cannot pull the wool over God's eyes. God knows the deep-seated desires of our heart, pleasures of our heart, longings of our heart. God knows it. See, God knows what you're thinking right now. God knows what you're thinking. He knows your thoughts when they are far off. And that's a sobering thing to think about. How many of y'all ever had stuff run across your mind and you start rebuking it right away? Ooh, I wish I could get that out before God knew it was there. But let me tell you, you can't do that. I'm telling you, we are in a warfare to live for God, to live holy, to live sanctified. That devil is fighting to try to entrap us so that our words, amen, are void of power. Just so you say the right words. There are a lot of folks that know the right words. But the words are void of power. But church, oh man. Thank you. For allowing me to come. And you share this time with me.